This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There are going to be a whole lot of new faces at the White House soon-ish. You know that if you follow political news. There is going to be a new economic face as well, and that is where we're going to start the next 5 minutes of live radio on this program. Sheila Kolhatkar writes for The New Yorker magazine. Anna Swanson for The New York Times. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Sheila, let me start with you and the new face at the White House. I guess Monday, is that when he's starting? I don't know. He's waiting on a security clearance, a bunch of stuff. Larry Kudlow, late of CNBC, formerly of the Reagan White House. You talked to him this week after the new job was announced. What is your sense of why he took this job, since he has publicly disagreed with the president on the new tariffs?
Well, my feeling about Larry is that he has been waiting for quite some time to find some influence in Washington. This is sort of his fantasy scenario. He was, a member of the Reagan administration.
Right.
He worked in the budget department. He's a classic trickle-down economics guy. He believes in aggressively cutting taxes for corporations and wealthy people and believes that the benefits will flow down the chain. This is a very controversial idea. But I think he saw an opening in Trump, an opportunity to have some influence.
Anna, I want to read to you, rather, part of Sheila's article about Larry Kudlow in The New Yorker the other day, the piece she wrote. And it said, quote, "In my conversations with the president in recent days, he's made it very clear he doesn't like tariffs either. I think you'll see targeted tariffs," Kudlow said. You actually reported on this a couple of days ago. They are coming against the Chinese, right?
That's right. So there is a new round of tariffs coming, even before the dust settles on these steel and aluminum tariffs that were announced announced the other week and are expected to go into effect next Friday. So the White House is preparing another big round of tariffs, this time aimed at China. And last week, Bob Lighthizer presented presented the president with a package of tariffs of $30 billion. And the president apparently said that wasn't big enough. He wants more. So we'll have to see where those ultimately fall.
Sheila, let me ask you this, and I will grant you it calls for a bit of hypothesizing here. But why do you suppose, other than the big booming headline effect, which might be the whole reason, why did he go with these across-the-board tariffs instead of what Kudlow was talking about and Anna reported on, these targeted things against the main trade offender in his mind?
Well, I thought the reaction to the tariffs was sort of interesting. The people you would have expected to get very upset did get upset and cautioned about the possibility of a trade war and other countries retaliating. Those are all valid concerns. But as I saw one Ivy League economist after the other in pinstripes kind of screaming about this in various media outlets, I thought that, you know, Trump on some level, you know, knew what he was doing. This was sort of a political move. And he was speaking to his core base of voters, out of work steel workers. And it's not necessarily a huge constituency, but that was my sense. I mean, he just threw it out there because he thought it would play well with his base.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But Anna, as we are going to hear later in the program, the Europeans are not at all happy about being on this list. It is arguably going to call for some kind of climb down if the Europeans get really aggravated about this. Why not just go big on China and you know, as the president said, $30 billion is not enough.
Well, maybe that is why they're speeding into this next trade action, which many people in the administration are very united around, unlike steel and aluminum tariffs. People like Senator Marco Rubio or Orrin Hatch, you know, both men who oppose the steel and aluminum tariffs have welcomed action on China. And I think you'll see much more of a united Republican front, at least on the idea. Maybe when it comes down to what exactly we're going to put tariffs on, there will be more dissension.
Right. Okay, let me change gears completely here and mention an interview I did, which I think I talked about on the program yesterday. Tim Geithner, Hank Paulson, and Ben Bernanke sat down with them earlier this week talking about 10 years since the financial crisis, the Great Recession. We're going to air that on Monday. I want to play a little piece of tape of Timothy Geithner, then the head of the New York Fed, talking about how fraught things were this week, 10 years ago, as Bear Stearns went under. Here's Tim Geithner.
Until President Bush and Hank Paulson were successful in getting Congress to pass the emergency authority in September, early October, we were using duct tape and string to try to hold the thing together. We were doing so creatively in ways that had been done since the Great Depression, but those tools were very weak, and the capacity to maximize our power was very limited against the force of the storm.
My personal most holy cow moment of the financial crisis was when TARP was voted down in the House and the Dow dropped 777 points. I would love to hear from each of you in the minute-ish we have left, tops, what your most vivid memory of the crisis was. Anna?
Well, 10 years ago, I was actually in grad school in Nanjing
Oh, wow.
in China.
Oh,
but
wow.
I do remember later that year, I got hired to a job in Shanghai, and I was walking to work listening to Marketplace and listening to all of it fall apart. So, yep, I was a fan
Wow.
back then.
Global crisis. Sheila, what about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, just a few days before Lehman Brothers effectively collapsed, my husband and I made an offer on a home, our first home. And I remember watching the stock market collapse and feeling a bit sick to my stomach. And then the realtor called and said to us, is your offer still good?
And
I will never forget that.
Did you buy the house? Did you buy the house?
Well, it took us 2 more years.
Wow.
But we eventually bought a different but very similar house and got it at a much better price.
Yeah. Sheila Kolhatkar at The New Yorker Magazine and Anna Swanson at The New York Times. Thanks, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks.